Well, there are three readings I'd like you to look at, and our main thought this evening is the significance of being a servant of Jesus Christ. The significance of being a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, the three readings, we'll start with 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Then we go to 1 Corinthians, and then back to Exodus. But first of all, 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm reading from verses 13 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 to 23. The challenge and the significance of being a servant of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I won't go into see why therefore is that. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes again. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, he be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, or reverent worship. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. You can see that verse 22 in particular. Obeying the truth through the Spirit. Sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now in the light of that, let's go back please to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just a few verses there. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 to 20, with the emphasis on verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 17 to 20. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We call that fellowship, don't we? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does in outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have from God, you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See that verse 20? Mm-hmm. You were bought at a price.
Hallelujah.
Therefore glorify God, because of that, in your body, practical everyday life, working it out, and in your spirit, which are God's, that's your relationship with God, spirit to spirit. Now go back, please, if you will, right back to Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 21. Exodus, chapter 21. And I'll read the first six verses. Exodus, chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. This is about a servant or a slave whose master really cared for him and loved him, so much so that the slave as he was, a bond slave to his master, because he was cared for and provided for and his wife and family, he did not want to leave. He wanted to remain a bond slave of the master.
Mm.
That speaks to us.
Mm.
The significance of being a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, Exodus 21, in verse 1 to 6. Now these are the judgments which are set before them, that's before the Hebrews. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he, that's his servant, shall serve him forever. That means for as long as his life. That's relating to us being a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now think of your position. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. He's bought you with a price. We read that in 1 Corinthians 6. You're not your own. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is the significance of being a disciple to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we are. True discipleship in the believer is realizing that we're being sought out and bought out by the Lord. Bought out right by the blood of Christ. And he expects our response thoroughly, yielding as a bond servant. We are owned by the Lord because he bought us with that price of his blood. And in fact, you know, we belong to him forever, which is rejoicing in our lives. So in one sense, he owns us like the master owned his slave. Though he was free to go out after 6 years. But he said, no, I love my master, I want to stay with him. And so it is with us. Yet, in a sense, we don't go out after 6 years, of course. And in that sixth verse of Exodus 21, which I read, he shall serve him, the master, forever, as long as his life. So he was owned for as long as his life because he loved his master. And he would not go out free. He had the choice. He was free to leave after 6 years. But he said, no, I love my master. I'll remain serving him loyally, faithfully, obediently, whatever he asked me to do for the rest of my life. Now, he loved his master, he wouldn't go out free. His master loved him, he treated him well, and all his family, children too. So in one sense, when he made that decision after 6 years to remain with his master forever, he realized that once again, if you like, thinking of our modern term, he was under new management all over again. And that's true when we're saved and born again, we're under new management, and that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. Because we know we've been bought at such a price, what we read in 1 Peter, and his shed blood. And what a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading this morning about the time that Jesus had with his disciples on the last evening before his death, as he took the bread and took the wine, and of course gave it new meaning. We have communion. And it says, he gave thanks for the bread. In other words, he gave thanks for his suffering.
Mm.
For all that he went through for us. He gave thanks for his death. He took the bread, broke it, and gave thanks. Do you give thanks for whatever you go through? Oh, how hard that is, isn't it? But that's being a loyal, faithful servant of Jesus Christ. He'll never ask you to bear what you cannot bear. We know that. Various tests. So, in a sense, we are under new management once we're saved. It's true. And if you could just check that 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. We look at it because it is important. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. If you go back there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. And this is very much related to that incident of Exodus chapter 21 about the slave and his master. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, important verse. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. In other words, fellowship, spirit to spirit. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, he said, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, by your spirit, when you're born again. Spirit, born again, spirit to spirit, with the Lord. And you are joined to the Lord in the same way as that after the 6 years, the bond slave committed himself to the master and in a sense was joined to him as a slave for the rest of his life. Now, in one sense, of course, that's just like marriage. In a marriage situation, the two become one. That word marriage really is on the human level, of course, is when two become one. When you're joined to your husband, joined to your wife, and the two becomes one. You have total agreement, that's the ideal, of course, the total agreement. Husbands, love your wives, as in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, obey your husbands. And in fact, it's needed that husbands love your wives, then you can expect her loyal obedience to you because you love your wife. So there's that illustration of marriage in Ephesians 5. Now, we don't get married to the Lord in that sense. It means we have a closer, deeper union when we go to be with him and he comes for us. So the actual illustration of marriage here is one of union, is one of harmony, is one of total agreement, having one mind with each other. I know this is the ideal, as it is with the Lord. He that is joined to the Lord, like marriage, is one spirit with the Lord. That's fellowship with him, as a union with him, just like marriage is. Now think of the Lord Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. It's an excellent example. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to look at the Lord Jesus here in his humility as God and man in one person. And the challenge is looking at the humility of Jesus to be willing to go to the cross as his Father directed and his willing servant to his Father's will. Chapter 2 then of Philippians, and we look at the first few verses. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit or in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Love, fellowship, affection and mercy from the Lord and to each other. Being of one mind, one accord, unity, harmony with one another. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or deceit. That's the very opposite. But in lowliness, that's humility. Lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Well, that's fellowship. That's in unity with each other. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It doesn't mean minding each other's business. It means caring with people, sharing concern as we have, and bearing one another's burdens, just like that. But let's read on. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, because he was. So it wasn't thieving, it was he. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The humility of God the man, Christ Jesus. His humility, his willingness to be a servant to his Father, to obey the Father's will, to go to the cross. Even to the death of that cross, all this horror. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Those in heaven, those are already there. Those on the earth, ourselves, and of those under the earth who've died, but with the Lord. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even unbelievers will have to do that and bend the knee one day. That's the humility of God the Son, obedient to his Father's will, even to the death of the cross, completely submissive to his Father's will, as a servant is completely submissive to his master. Even though Jesus is equal with the Father in his humanity, he's willing to suffer, to go to the cross in his humanity. But as God, he came to save us, we know that. So that's wonderful, isn't it? We are bought with a price then, by the precious blood of Christ. You see, we are a purchased possession, we're not our own. He's bought us, we're his.
Amen.
Like a bond slave, loving his master, and so he wouldn't go out free. We know the Lord's love for us, his care for us, day by day. And the wonderful thing is, as say in marriage, the woman changes her name to have her husband's name. And that's also true in the book of Revelation, that one day we will have a new name, which he will give to us. As indeed, we shall have a changed name, just as a woman changes her name when she gets married. We must admit that. So, we're purchased by the price of the shed blood and the death of the Son of God in his human form. The example of that, of course, is Hosea. I mentioned this before, but it fits tonight. Hosea was a prophet, as you know, and he married a woman called Gomer, and unfortunately she left him and went astray and became a prostitute, and her life was ruined, so ruined that in the end those who employed her just cast her aside into the slave market. Hosea still loved his wife, and he bought her half the price, not 30 pieces of silver, but 15. And he brought her back, reinstated her to be his wife and the mother of the children that they had. And that's just like you and I. He bought us. We're ruined by sin and self and unbelief. But he bought us. And he reinstated us in salvation experience into that new relationship with the Lord Jesus and God, Father, Abba. We know that's true. Now, we know also in the scriptures we're told that the Lord nourishes and cares and cherishes his church. If you're in Philippians, go back a couple of pages to Ephesians 5. I was quoting that just now concerning marriage. But we look at Ephesians 5. And here again you can see from verse 22 onwards is this relationship of marriage and how close that should be in ideal relations. And verse 24, Ephesians 5. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ and the individual Christian believer, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. Husbands, that's a real challenge. To love your wife like the Lord loves you. And he gave himself for it. That he might sanctify, set it apart, make it holy, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word does give a cleansing, you know. That he might present it to himself a glorious church one day, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing one day, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Yeah, you are. Verse 29. The Lord nourishes and cherishes us, husbands and wives, husbands who nourish and cherish a wife, just as the Lord does the church. What a tall order.
Mm.
What a thing that is. That's true. So the Lord loves and nourishes and cherishes his church and individual believers in it. We know he's the head of the body. We're his bride to be, not yet, but we will be his bride to be in that sense of wonderful union. And so we are redeemed. We're bought with a price. And we have become a bond slave to Jesus Christ. The word is doulos. I know in the AV, Authorized Version, it puts a servant. Sorry, it's a stronger word than that. It really is a bond slave. That's what the word doulos really means. That's the full meaning. It's a slave rather than the mild term of being a servant. That's the full meaning of the Greek word doulos. We're bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. We're brought into that new covenant relationship with him and is sealed forever by the blood of Jesus, sealed by the blood, sealed by the Holy Spirit. You can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
At such a great cost. Think of what it costs a father to send his son here. You think of the cost of the son, quite rightly so. But what did it cost a father to curse his son with his wrath? Think about that one. What a great cost it was to the Father, let alone the Son. And he gave his Son. And Jesus gave himself for us. He became a servant to his Father's will. We know that too, even to the death of the cross. So you and I have been sought out and bought out. And bought outright, should we say. Set apart, sanctified. And he calls us to be a willing bond slave to Jesus Christ. Sold out to him in that sense of the word. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have the strength of the indwelling spirit. We're his temple. No doubt about it. The word is naos, which means holy of holies, by the way. And if we just go back to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. And look at verses 22 to 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verses 22 to 24. 1 Corinthians 7, 22 to 24. For he who is called in the Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that calling which he was called to be a bond slave of Jesus Christ. You could be free to go out, but we don't want to be. Well, of course, in one sense, we can't be. That's certainly true. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 16, you needn't turn to it, I'll quote it here. 1 Peter 2:16 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, unpleasantness, but as a servant of God. You're free, but don't use your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness or unkindness or unpleasantness, but rather as a servant of God. I want you to go back to Romans. If you're among Corinthians, just go back a book to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let the scriptures explain themselves. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 13. Now, obviously, it speaks about food here for the stomach. That's obvious. The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. The Corinthian Christians had a real problem over immorality. But he says, look, I'm reminding you, Corinthian Christians, your body belongs to the Lord. You can't do with it what you feel you want to or what you used to. No. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. One day we're to be with him. No question about that. Now go to verse 16. Verse 16 of Romans 6. Do you not know that he was joined to a prostitute and that was it? Is one body with her? For the two, it says, shall become one flesh. I won't go into that now. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Who joined to the Lord? By the covenant, new covenant, blood covenant, work of the Holy Spirit. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's harmony, unity, and fellowship. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Sorry, that's in 1 Corinthians 6. I'm back in Romans 6. Sorry about that. Get my pages. It's Romans chapter 6.
Did you notice how polite we're all being?
Well, it's good to read the scriptures again. Yeah. Right, here we are, Romans 6. Sorry, I stayed in 1 Corinthians 6. Well, just as well, they're the same scriptures.
Yeah.
But yeah, Romans 6, sorry, let's go back there. Romans 6, verse 13. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. So we are. We're on the side of resurrection. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You're an instrument of righteousness to the Lord. That's something, isn't it? Instrument of righteousness. We're to live like that. That's the important thing. Let's read on, though. Verse 17, or verse 16 as well. You've got that. Do you not know, verse 16, that to whom you are present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? People who are not believers are slaves to their self, to sin, their interests, their comforts, everything else. It's I. But not so the believer. We have to present ourselves as slaves to obey the Lord. Because we're bought. If you like, you've been willing to have yourself pierced to him. Exodus 21. Obedience to righteousness. End of verse 16. Verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered, salvation gospel. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Got that? That's an important verse. Slaves of righteousness. Yeah. That's something, isn't it? Let's read on. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of unrighteousness, uncleanness, and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Slaves of righteousness for holiness. Separated life to the Lord, bought with a price. Bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's very important. Let's read on. 21. What fruit did you have then in the thing of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death and condemnation, judgment. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, verse 22, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. You have that now. You've got the full payment when it comes.
Hallelujah.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ooh, slaves of sin to slaves of God. That's what it is. Bond slaves to Jesus Christ. Obedient to his will, tied to him, tied to the Lord. No question about that. No longer enslaved to self and sin and unbelief to self, but slaves to righteousness and slaves to the Lord. And see, we are sons too, you know, not just slaves. Jesus Christ was the Son of God to his Father. You and I are sons and daughters to God the Father as well. But he went obedient to the death of the cross. That's quite something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Would you go to Colossians chapter 4? Interesting. Colossians chapter 4. Just one verse. Mm-hmm. Chapter 4 of Colossians and verse 7. Colossians 4 verse 7. Mm-hmm. It's talking about Tychicus. You can see what the Apostle Paul thought of Tychicus in Colossians 4 verse 7. Tychicus, who is a beloved brother. a faithful minister or servant, and a fellow servant in the Lord, he will tell you all the news about me. Beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord. What a good example Paul could write about this man. It's in the Word of God forever. And the word servant there is sandoulos. Sandoulos. And it means a bondslave. Tychicus was a bondslave to Jesus Christ. But he was a brother and fellow servant with the Apostle Paul as well. See, you might think, well, does that mean we are automatic like robots? No. We have choices. The man in Exodus 21, he wanted to and was free to go out, but he wanted to stay with his master who loved him, provided for him, looked after him, sheltered him, and all his family. He says, I'm not going out free. No, he wasn't automatic. He wasn't a robot. He made the willing choice. You and I make a willing choice. Not every Christian does. Not every Christian does, you know. This is something which is a challenge to every Christian. To be a disciple and a bondservant, bondslave to Jesus Christ. Not every Christian does. Won't go that far. Look in the church today. It's weak. No, we're willing servants of the Lord in our body, in our mind, in our soul, and in our spirit, which are the Lord's. He gives us the strength. He enables us to do this. You can't do it yourself. I can't do it myself. We need the Holy Spirit to help us and strengthen us to this very tall order, if you like. It's a high place. But he does enable us. He can't expect us to do it on our own. That's impossible. Although we could have done it without him. And that's impossible. You know, our bodies, we know, are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, go back to Romans 15 with me, would you? Romans 15. I like the scriptures to explain themselves. There are a few verses here in Romans 15. And I'm going from verse 5 onwards. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through to 13. A few verses, but well worth it. Romans 15, verse 5. Now may the God of patience, and I'll tell you we need it in that circumstance, and comfort, grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The aspect of being a bondslave of Jesus Christ glorifies him and glorifies your Father. It gives him the glory, as it sets you apart for him. Verse 7. Therefore receive one another. Unity, harmony, fellowship between believers. Receive one another just as Christ also received us. And quite frankly, in his holiness as God the Son, he must have seemed ugly to him. Fallen, wasted, sinful, ruined by sin and the fall. But he loved us as we were. And he loves us as we are. And he will love us when we will be with him and like him. Let's carry on reading in Romans 15. There it is. We see one another, fellowship with each other. We're all in the same boat, if you like, as Christ received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, us Jewish people, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, that's the Jewish, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, because we were outside in the cold. God did make a covenant with Gentiles until Jesus came through the blood. But he made covenants with Israel. But now we have experienced his mercy. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. For this reason I confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Sing to your name. Remember what I said at the Passover meal? Jesus gave thanks for the bread which would be broken. He gave thanks that his body would be broken in an awful death. Being judged, being cursed, feeling the wrath of his Father. He gave thanks for that. Again, he said, verse 10, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, with the Jewish people, we say. And again, praise the Lord, O you Gentiles. Lord him, praise him, all you peoples. Wonderful, isn't it? And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. And yes, we do.
Amen.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a message that is. One verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in abundance in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Has to be. Has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it yourself. That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm.
Just coming to an end. This teaching is hard. It's hard to receive. It's hard to give. But it's true. The Word of God explains it, and I read those many scriptures. But that understanding and that truth is missing in today's church preaching, largely speaking. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
We're his bondservants, bondslaves. He's Lord of your life, he's Lord of mine. To be a true disciple is to live for Christ as a bondslave. The very opposite of this, I'm sorry to say it, is a messy church. Just filling seats. I won't go too much of that. But a church is called to be a bondslave of Jesus Christ, person by person, and in the body of the church. Living witnesses for him, going through every opportunity. Today, I'll just say this. There are, I think, 290 million Christians suffering for Christ in the world today. We don't have
how many?
219 million. Now, whether they're all genuine ones.
I was about to say, is that real Christians?
I don't know. That's a figure that's released. I couldn't tell you.
Hmm.
But you and I are called to wear God's armor. We're in a battle. We battle sometimes with ourselves. But I feel in some areas, I don't want to be critical, it's by observation, the church has laid down its armor. And it's not fighting soldier anymore. Daniel knew what it was like to do battle with those who were against him. And all around us today, increasingly so, there's wickedness and lawlessness, crimes, ungodliness. You only have to read Romans 1, don't you? Would you go back, please? I've got two more scriptures. That one in Daniel chapter 11. Let's go back to Daniel, please. Daniel chapter 11. And then one more and I've finished. Or two more. Daniel chapter 11, please. And look from verse 32. The second part of Daniel 11, verse 32. The first half doesn't apply to us. Daniel 11, the second part of verse 32. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits, service, warfare. Very important. 33. Those of the people who understand shall instruct many. People who understand this instruct others. Share what you know. Share the truth with others that they may be blessed as well. One verse in Acts chapter 20. Let me go back to Jeremiah. I'm not finished. Acts chapter 20, please. One verse. Verse 24. Acts 20 and verse 24. The Apostle Paul has been meeting the Ephesian elders on the beach, and he's going to say goodbye to them, never to see them again, and they wept together in fellowship. And he speaks about himself. Well, let's read from verse 22 for context. Acts 20, verse 22 to begin with. This is what he said to the elders at Ephesus. And see now I go bound in the spirit. This is Agabus who took that cloth and bound himself. To Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He knew his suffering. They're all listed in 2 Corinthians 11. Daniel knew what it was. He was very much a lonely man. He didn't go back with the other Hebrews back to Jerusalem and Judea. He remained in exile as a very old man, late 80s in age. But he was a man who was faithful to God in everything. He suffered, of course, in the lion's den. Much opposition against him by people who were jealous of him. I want to end with going back to Jeremiah 9. Would you go back to Jeremiah 9, please? Jeremiah 9, 2 verses, 23 and 24. I was reminded of this by someone else the other day, but this fits this message at the end. Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24. Please find it. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in me, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, that means correction, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Relationship and fellowship, close. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, correction, that is, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Challenging, isn't it? You don't glory in wisdom, don't glory in power, don't glory in riches, if you have it, but glory in knowing the Lord as a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John.
There was a... I'd like to read a poem which was written some time ago, and it relates to this. It was written by Claire of the White House Fellowship, Claire Wiltshire, and she called it Streets of Gold. Just give me a broom, Lord, when I get to heaven. I'll sweep the streets of gold. Whatever you ask of me, it will be my honour, as long as your face I behold. I will sweep the streets before you, Lord, so rose petals on the ground. I will be your faithful servant forever. For I was lost, but now I'm found. I will sweep the streets before you, Lord, even though there's no dust there, because I know all my sins are forgiven, and heaven with you I will share. Give me a broom, Lord, and I'll sweep.